Blog Talk Radio.
This is a message from the CDC. Travel increases your chance of getting and spreading COVID-19. Take steps to protect yourself and others. Wear a mask that completely covers your nose and mouth. Masks are required on planes, buses, trains, and other forms of public transportation traveling into, within, or outside of the U.S. and in U.S. transportation hubs such as airports and stations. Stay at least 6 feet away from others. Wash your hands often and watch for symptoms of COVID-19. Visit cdc.gov/COVID-19travel to learn more.
What kind of help does the IRS have for identity theft victims?
If you suspect you're a victim of tax-related identity theft, go to irs.gov/identity theft to learn how to prevent potential refund fraud and protect your tax account. At the IRS, combating tax-related identity theft is a top priority, and we are committed to prevention, detection, and assisting victims. And we're working with law enforcement to catch the criminals. For more info, go to irs.gov/identity theft to learn what the IRS is doing to help protect you.
Them, but it hasn't quite been the same. But it's been very exciting to see this as a celebration of African football. Two big stars, Sadio Mane and Mohamed Salah, in African football and in world football contesting right here behind me.
I suppose that there must have been a time uncertainty about whether the game with the tournament itself is going to be able to go ahead given the ongoing pandemic as well.
Yes, coming up to this tournament, we weren't sure if it was going to go ahead. There were concerns in regards to the pandemic. Would it still go ahead? What were the measures that the host nation had put in place? And they came out to say that they would get, you know, all around here, their testing sites. I've had to test it myself, coming to every single match to see if I'm positive or not for COVID-19. So they've tried as much as possible to put those measures in place. They've also, as well, limited the number of fans that can attend the stadium for when the host nation were playing and for as well when other nations were playing. But as we've seen, it's now gone ahead. We're now here in the final leg, the final four taking place right now.
Okay. Maybe for us, the final four is on there. Thanks very much. The state funeral has taken place in Mumbai, one of India's greatest ever singers. Attended by a huge crowd, including the Prime Minister Narendra Modi. She was 92 and a superstar of Indian cinema known to millions as the Nightingale of India. Her extraordinary career spanned 7 decades. Mr. Modi said she left a void in a nation that cannot be filled. Regina Vaidyanathan looks back at her life.
She was one of the most recorded artists in history, with thousands of songs to her name. The voice of the Silver Queen, Lata Mangeshkar, was a Bollywood playback singer. In Indian musicals, where actors rarely sing themselves, her vocals were dubbed over generations of leading ladies. She began and grew into a megastar. With hit after hit, she defined the sound of the nation, famously moving Prime Minister Nehru to tears during one live performance. Singing in multiple languages,
with hit after hit,
and she defined the sound of the Nightingale,
famously moving Prime Minister
Nehru to tears during one live performance.
She has been singing, because that's lost for any human to be able to sing, because I don't think anywhere in the globe there has been any...
I can hear your heart tapping.
...simply for seven and a half decades.
Lata Mangeshkar's voice echoes well beyond here, our home city of Mumbai. In many ways, Bollywood songs are a universal language, transcending religious and political divide. And in that sense, Lata Didi, as she was known, spoke to millions of people around the world at times of love and loss, hope and happiness. Lata Mangeshkar. Cheshire celebrated her 90th birthday in 2019. Enjoy Instagram, sharing these photos. In one of her last interviews for the BBC Asia Network, she talked about reaching that milestone. Her voice was ever useful. It was one of a kind. If Bollywood was the soul of India, then Lata Mangeshkar was its beating heart.
I'm joined now by Mayank Sikar, who's an Indian film critic. Mayank, how will you remember her?
Well, it's impossible to, you know, remember for one thing, or even a few things. You know, usually the cliche around deaths of this nature, such historic figures, is we call it the end of an era. But for someone like Lata Mangeshkar, it is the end of several eras. You know, it was part of the 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, in the 2000s, up until, you know, even, you know, she continues to sing even right towards the end.
Okay, Beth, I can't hear you. I'm going to give up. Okay. I'm throwing in a towel. I can't hear this. Thank you.
Thank you. best for me to call back in to the show, to disconnect myself and call back in. So hopefully I can be heard. Michael's call has been dropped. Everything on my end shows that my sound is pretty good. So my sound, my mic, everything is
can take me a window and bring my little carriage.
It's time to see how all of you are being reintroduced to a tradition of instruments from China's past.
Wow.
And meet the first Boko by taking that into the concert hall.
Competition.
What a best way to go. And in the bustling capital of the nation, there are 20 million people. It's not only you that stop and think. But how does it end? I'm about to be one. Meet Fun Man Kid, considered one of China's greatest musicians. He spent his life with his distinctive brown sound box and his fairly introduction in the second session.
Hello, Tenson. Cousin Linda?
Yes.
Hello?
I can finally hear you. Can you hear me?
Hello. Oh, okay, great. Woo! I can hear you perfectly. And my friend Michael, who co-hosts, I can hear you perfectly. I can hear your background. I can hear you before. And
yeah, I can hear
and
you.
That I've been sound checking has been panning out, so I don't know what the situation has been. I don't know if it might, maybe something with Blog Talk Radio, but I have been checking out everything. That's one reason why I played the, well, I love the Imperial Walls, but I love to play it, but I'm like, okay, everything's panning out on my end, so I didn't understand why you couldn't hear me. My friend that's been co-hosting with me at late night, he called in, and just like you, I don't think he could hear me. So then the call dropped, so I don't know. But I was double-checking everything, and I was glad to see your call come back in.
Yeah, I was like, now, there's no, I don't know anything about technology. Why is she doing all this? I'm like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to press. But it kept saying, you know, please hold and you can listen to the host. And I kept holding and holding.
Uh-huh.
And so sometimes I would hear music, you know, in the past, but I didn't hear anything today.
Uh-huh.
So let me send a text message,
well,
and you got so many names, I didn't know who to message. So I picked Avon. Lady,
and I was talking. Yes. The CDC PSA came on, and I talked a little bit, did a run-through, giving out the number like you reminded me last night. And I was just, you know, I get so excited. So I was excited to have you on because we haven't talked this year.
Right.
And I haven't been on a Sunday since probably the first or second weekend. I think you might have gone out. One Sunday afternoon, and then I've been on hiatus on Sundays for about a month. So I'm excited to find out what's on your mind, and I'm glad to know you survived a winter storm in Dallas. Oh my God, I was so concerned about you all.
Yeah, well, thank you. A couple of people called, you know, long distance to check on me and everything. And I appreciated that. But Wednesday, I've been substitute teaching. And so whatever the Dallas district does, I substitute for a charter school. And so one of the assistant principals was, she didn't seem to be too concerned about the weather, but I had been listening to the local news, and they kept talking about how bad it was going to get Wednesday night. So Wednesday morning, she made the announcement that they were, in fact, she had sent a text message that Tuesday night that they were going to follow the Dallas district, because Dallas knew that they were closing, no questions asked. So we still had to go to school Wednesday. And about 4:30, because I don't get off at 4:30. And so at 4:25, she dismissed us, let us go, and it was raining kind of hard. And you know how people over here act, Beth. If it's a little drop of rain or a snowflake, they have to go to the store and try to buy up everything in the store. So I stopped by Albertson's. They didn't even have any carts available. Everybody had gotten in there and got carts. And I needed some stuff from the deli, and I needed a quart of milk. So what I had to do was get some paper bags from the deli, and put my items in there. And the lines were so long. You had these folks with, I am serious, their carts were filled up to the brim. And I was thinking, it's only for 2 days, people, just 2 days, not 2 months. And finally, the line started moving because Albertsons usually has so many cashiers on duty that they will come out, kind of like they'll leave from behind the cash register to let you know that they're available.
Uh-huh.
And it seemed like they had just one cashier available. Even the self-service checkout lines were just packed. And I was so glad to finally get up there, get my groceries checked out, and then forgot where I parked. And I was roaming around out on the park. Trying to remember where I had parked my car. So when I got up in here Wednesday evening, I think about 6 something, I stayed in and I didn't go out until today.
Wow. Wow. Did you see any sign of a winter storm when you were out?
Yes. Here at my apartment complex, the side that's facing the south, all that ice has melted, but the side of the unit that's facing north, it's shade still, and the sun can't reach it, and they still have ice. And then I went to the dumpster and to the mailboxes, and it's still ice, a lot of ice out there in that area. If you're not careful, you will slip and fall, because I almost fell 2 times.
What?
So hopefully by tomorrow, all the streets will be gone.
I was just listening. Uh-huh.
Oh, I was going to say, some of the streets, still have a little black ice on them. You still have to be real careful.
I know on Twitter, DFW Scanner keeps me in the know much. And in all times, and wow, the stories they were posting just amazed me. And they were like, if you don't need to be out, please do not come out. And yesterday morning, they were like, well, you're free to get out. Get out and enjoy yourselves now. But I thought maybe it might be still some iciness in some places.
It was. And you know how I love to take photos. I didn't even open my door. I didn't even bother to try to take pictures of all this ice. I mean, we just had a blanket of white everywhere. And I said, I'm not even going to open the door to try to take a picture of it, because I was afraid if I opened my door, it might be some ice in it, and I couldn't close it again. It was terrible. It may not have looked really bad unless you were looking at the highways, but, just here in the neighborhood, it was pretty bad.
Mhm. Because I had no idea. I think till early that Thursday morning how bad it would get, and so we usually get you all's weather, or you all get our weather. So I was concerned if we were getting a winter storm. I know I had heard of some places in northern Texas and Oklahoma, but in Dallas, I'm like, oh my God! I remember the year the Super Bowl was played in Dallas. What year was that? 2013, 2014. Yeah.
I forget.
And
what
I
year,
remember people thought that they were going to, huh?
I said it was a disaster.
Yes, and everyone thought that it was going to be a sunny weekend. And one reason why they chose Dallas is because of the weather. When a storm came, like wow. So that weather reminded me of that year of the Super Bowl. I'm like,
some of those celebrities. stay in downtown Dallas, and they had to try to get over to Arlington.
Uh-huh.
And I think some of them were saying that they would never, ever come back to Dallas because it was so horrible. Because, you know, we're not equipped for that kind of stuff. I said, I feel sorry for I know the feeling.
Yes, are you on? Hello? You're...
Yeah, I'm here. Yep, I was trying to put
okay, home. Yeah, yeah. And I'm like, wow. So it surprised me. I know I was someone in Dallas that I do business with that I know she mentioned in her email something about stay warm, like the weather was like really bad. I guess she thought I was in Dallas. And I'm like, you know, it's cold here, but the way she put emphasis on like be safe and stay warm, I'm like, the weather must be pretty bad in Dallas. And then and that was like that Wednesday evening, I think. And then early Thursday, I seen that weather. I'm like, oh, my God, that's what she was talking about because she assumed I was in Dallas. And I'm like, wow, because it's cold. It's been cold here. Last we had like three seasons. And now we have the cold mornings and the spring-like afternoons. Well, not spring-like afternoons. It's sunny here. It's in the 50s, but it's a cold 50. But it didn't come here. It went above us. It went above us to Tennessee. It left Texas, and then it angled up.
I saw where Memphis got some pretty bad weather, and I have a friend that lives in Memphis, and I forgot to call and check on her.
Right.
Because I was so busy up in here praying that, you know, we didn't lose electricity. And most of the
time, that's what I was praying for.
Mm-hmm. I'd get up and watch a little TV and eat and just stay here and make a few phone calls. A few people would call me, and for some reason, I just got selfish. I didn't think about calling.
But yes, I noticed Memphis, and you know, a few weeks ago, we did get some snow flurries. Thank God for our ice, but Canton, it was a weird snowfall. It fell in certain areas, like Canton, Mississippi, received in some parts like 8 inches of snow. We thought we were going to get we received snow flurries in Jackson. We received no flurries, but we didn't get like 8 inches like in Canton. So that was a weird weather system.
Mm-hmm. And Canton is what, about 20 miles from Jackson? Not very far.
Yes. And then there were certain parts of Canton, like it snowed heavily in one spot, and then you could go like the weather people would go around the corner, and there would be like no snow. So they tried to educate us on what that system was called, about how, why, because a lot of people wanted to know why certain areas got snow and certain areas didn't.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm so glad you all survived the ice, because the snow I can deal with, but the ice, oh, my God.
Yeah, ice is horrible.
So last year you educated us about Dallas and ice, so seemed like Dallas managed it pretty well. I think it's about keeping people off the streets. If they can keep the people off the streets, then everyone can pretty much survive it.
Did you see on Facebook somebody put a little thing on there? They posted for the people in Dallas, if y'all can't drive safe when it's 75 and sunny, you know you can't drive safe when it's 20 degrees and icy. I said, hey, man.
That is funny. That is so true. And only people that have visited Dallas, you all know what Cousin Linda is talking about. Because, I mean, it's like, when it's 100 degrees, I mean, Dallas is nothing to play with when it comes to the roads and highways. When I'm driving in Dallas, with all the amazing freeways and tollways, I mean, I don't get on the tollway unless I have to. I don't get on those stacks unless I have to. I still follow the if all the new different, I haven't been in Dallas in five years now. But whenever I'm back in Dallas, I always follow with you and my sister Diane and Beverly and Wayne, Tommy, and have shown me since back in the day. I always, because those roads and highways are still open. I know one time I borrowed my friend's car, and I only know the areas that y'all have taught me. And he was like, you took my car through my neighborhood? And that's when I had no idea. This was 2013. You remember when I came and I had used my friend's car and had forgotten your smokes? And I'm like, what are you talking about? You had my car, you know, in that neighborhood, whatever neighborhood. What is the neighborhood close to Doubletree? I know that neighborhood well, the high-end neighborhood, because you and Diane taught me. You and Diane taught me that neighborhood.
Northeast Dallas.
Yeah, and Tommy and Beverly. Right. I mean, that's the neighborhood I grew up in. And so, like, don't you know about drive DWB? I'm like, DWB? Driving while black. I'm like, now my car is marked. I'm like, what? But those are the streets that I know. Those are the streets that I'm comfortable driving on.
Yeah, Preston
right.
Road.
But speaking of driving, yeah. Huh?
Oh, you
Preston
you were
Road.
Saying, that's one of the streets
what?
Where you know of us don't want to drive because of DWB. But I never had any problems on that street. But a lot of us have problems, especially black men. I think it's better now.
Right.
We first
moved
over here. Yeah, they wouldn't drive on Preston Road. But you said you haven't been here in about 4 years.
Right.
You probably would recognize a lot of it because these highways.
Not since 2016. Not since 2016.
Okay, well, they have been working on the highways a lot.
I should be there soon, though.
Okay, well, if you're driving, watch out for 635 when you come off 80, I-20. And 80, you know, that exit to come to 635 north.
Right.
When you get on 635.
Yeah, what's going on with it?
Well, I think they're trying to add another lane or something. I don't know, but it is just congestion. It's horrible. You remember how it's terrible. You don't want to be over by Garland.
And that's one of my favorite sections of traveling to. And that's one of my favorite parts of traveling to Dallas when you get off that exit right there. Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's all complicated.
Yeah, because they...
Now it's all complicated.
Yeah, I went to one of my friend's houses. She lives over in Garland, and she had a housewarming party back in July or August. And I wanted to take some back streets over there, but a friend of mine and I decided that we just do 635. We didn't know they were working on 635. It was terrible. I had my friend in the car with me because I was driving, and she could look out, you know, to see if another car was coming or something, because you're scared to take your eyes off the road. You might hit something or somebody. And coming back, I was so glad to see that Skillman Street exit. I didn't know what to do. So I could have exited, you know, at Dallas Parkway or something. I was like, I ain't driving on 635 another inch. I'm getting off. So I remember when we used to come in from when we lived in Northeast Dallas, and I'd take that Skillman Abrams exit, and so I took Skillman Abrams and came on home. It was too much construction, even on a Saturday.
Right. Whenever I'm in Dallas now, when I see Skillman, if I get turned around anywhere, whenever I see Abrams and Skillman, oh my God, I feel like I'm in my safe spot. Like, okay, I know exactly where I'm going, but I can't believe it's 635. So no sightseeing, because when you get off of 80 onto 635, I mean, it's a nice drive and you can sightsee. So sound like you gotta stay focused now for all that going on.
And even Skillman. Skillman has changed drastically. Because I was in the car with a friend of mine, and parts of Skillman you won't recognize, because they built it up so, and they got so many different
windows
and everything. It looks totally different. I was like, this ain't the Skillman that I used to know. Because I used to live on Skillman.
Well, I know when... I remember, and I know my puppy dog BJ and I, when we was in the U-Haul and like Kitty Cat, that was one of the last streets I was on before we hit the road back to Jackson, and I was just admiring the construction that was happening then. So everything that I seen being built is all done, and now they're on to new construction probably now, because I know like new shopping centers are being built also. And like you mentioned, I noticed the condos and so many new businesses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
So I try to stay in the areas that I know that have not changed pretty much.
Right.
I don't leave Carrollton, Farmers Branch, and Addison, not unless I just have to.
Right. And I love your areas. Yes, the beers. Wow. Right, everything is close. But that's something I had talked to my sister about the other week. It's one thing about Dallas metropolitan area, each neighborhood have easy access to almost everything. And I mentioned to her, I'm like, Jackson. I mentioned to she and Wyatt, my brother, you know, your cousin. I'm like, Jackson should, like, use cities like Dallas as a model, you know, because here in Jackson, we have to leave neighborhoods to go to another neighborhood. Why can't neighborhoods be self-contained?
Yeah. Do you know our cousin, Donald Fate Russell, that was married to Dorothy Moore?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, I talk to him all the time, and he keeps wanting me and a friend of mine. I tried to hook him up with my friend Laverne. They talking on the phone, and he wants us to move to the Gulf Coast. And he was talking about we don't go anywhere, and he said you don't go anywhere and you don't do anything in Dallas. And I said, well, if I want to do it, there's always something going on here. And I pretty much don't have
right.
to leave my neighborhood to do anything, because he was saying, you know, that they have malls in Jackson. I said, we have malls that are larger than some cities in Mississippi. And, I mean, I'm
right.
like nowhere from Stonebriar Mall, not Stonebriar, but the shops at Willow Bend. I'm about 7 minutes from there. The Galleria, I'm about 12 or 13 minutes from the Galleria. But everything I need, I could go
right.
for a year without having to leave Carrollton and get everything I want done up here. And I said, if I were living in Mississippi,
right.
I'm going to have to drive to some other town or whatever. So he was saying, well, I'm just about 10
right.
miles from Walmart. I'm like 2 minutes from Walmart. What are you talking about?
right.
He was saying, there's nothing to do
right.
in Dallas and y'all need to move to Mississippi. I'm like, no.
Right. Jackson definitely need more. We used to be the city where the other cities would travel to. Now we find
mm-hmm.
ourselves traveling to other cities and towns. Like Biloxi,
mm-hmm.
It happens to be like one of the hottest areas in the state of Mississippi. So he wants you all to come to the coast. I ran across his sister's number a couple weeks ago, and I thought about calling her. I need to call our cousins in Florence and all, because is it Bobby? Who is Bobby? Is Bobby his sister? Is Bobby his sister? She's the one that used to be like over the reunions.
Could be.
If I had his number. Bobby, she's like the one that's like over the reunions when they put together the reunions every year.
Okay, yeah, because I never hear.
Isn't her name Bobby Jean?
I don't know. I can't remember.
Right.
Because I knew his older sisters, the ones that were older than he is, and they died off. And so I don't know his younger sisters or
right.
anything. Mm-hmm. So that lost contact with.
Yeah, I'm like, I just know him. I've known him all my life.
Mm-hmm.
I've known him all my life. I don't think I've seen him. I don't think I've seen him in person since Aunt Kat's funeral, Uncle James' wife.
Yeah,
I don't think
yeah.
I've seen him in person since her funeral.
Well, I haven't seen him since my mother's funeral, but I talked to him on
right.
the phone all the time. Mm-hmm. But, and you know, I used
yes,
to even,
that's what I was telling Beth. I was telling Beverly that you told me about his, you used to what?
I used to keep in contact with our, with Aunt Luvinia's children and Uncle Albert, Dorothy Jean,
yes.
did you know them? Aunt Carolyn, and I forget.
Yes, I know Carolyn.
Yeah, Dorothy
and the,
yeah, it was Dorothy Jean, Christine, and Carolyn. Carolyn was the oldest. And
yes.
I used to hear from her all the time. But we lost contact.
Exactly. And I bumped into one of the one that passed away like the time right after Mom or right before Mom. Ironically, he is friends with Terry and one of Terry's friends. And ironically, we were in the vehicle together and one of the friends had stopped by a farmer's market to get a watermelon. And his name's Billy D. Wansley. And he said, oh, watermelons are for sale everywhere in Florence. I'm like, I have my roots are in Florence. And then he told me his last name. I'm like, we are cousins. I told Terry, I said, Terry, this is my cousin. And the cousin of ours that passed away around the time Mother passed, she's his youngest. He's her youngest son. And I told Aunt Mildred, and I told Aunt Christine, I'm like, I met a cousin. I'm like, wow, it's a small world.
Yeah,
just talking
it is.
About watermelons, figured out we're cousins. And he talked about, what's our cousin name, Albert? We talked about
yeah.
Albert.
Mm-hmm. Because I got a picture.
And he talked about Carolyn.
Yeah, Albert and Carolyn are sister and brother. Yeah, I got a picture of Albert.
Right.
I think it was at my house. I don't know if it was at a party or what. James Albert, but everybody called him Albert.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. And Mom called him, yeah, Mom always called him James Albert, and so I called him James Albert, but yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So what about... anything that's a lot been happening, Cousin Linda. So I'm just wondering what is on your mind regarding so much has been happening. I don't even, when we were talking about driving with Black, I almost mentioned the young man in Minneapolis. I give Biden a thumbs up getting the ISIS leader. Well, just so happened ISIS
yeah.
Bombed himself, exploded his family.
But still,
you know, so.
We can still take credit for that because if Biden hadn't okayed the invasion, that guy would still be around to do more harm.
Right.
So even if he blew himself
right.
up, yeah, we were the catalyst or whatever. So that's one
so
less
that,
terrorist.
That excited me. Right. I hate he bombed. I wish we could have handcuffed him and brought him in, but yeah, I thought the armed forces, our armed forces had done it, and I was cool with that. But then when Biden said, well, he exploded himself, he was a coward and killed not only himself but his wife and his kids and other people in the building, you know.
Because
when I first heard it, I told Terry, I said, wow, so the president just gave our troops the okay to kill the ISIS leader. And Terry was like, was that start a war? So I was glad to find out that we invaded, but he actually killed himself. So that's on them with that one. Don't be trying to retaliate because he killed himself. We want him dead or alive. But he's gone.
Yeah.
mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, so last week, something I had mentioned, but you couldn't hear me. I was talking when you only heard silence, and I was as I introduced you, I was I mentioned the fact that it is time to plan staycations and summer vacations. Cousin mentioned about going places. Some people aren't going places. They're going. They're having fun right where they live. Some are planning. And unbelievable, spring break is only a month away. I know you're getting ads. I'm getting ads for bikinis. I'm getting ads for bikinis. All kind of vacations. All kind of like. Forget spring break for things that we use in the summertime for 4th of July. So are you ready to resume your traveling, or are you planning staycations? What are your thoughts regarding planning for staycations and vacations?
I'm feeling a little more comfortable with this COVID thing since I have been boosted and vaxxed and all that good stuff. And there are a lot of people who are wearing masks, but I feel like my body ought to be able to fight off anything since I, you know, have the vaccine and the booster, and I wear a mask and everything. So I feel a little comfortable. And speaking of spring break, I didn't realize it was just a month away. And my friend Laverne is doing substitute teaching too. So we might get together. Do a little something, I don't know what. Cousin Fate kept talking about going to Hawaii, but I don't know. He says he'll pay for us to go to Hawaii. I don't know, you know, if he really means it or what. But
I know Cousin Fate. I know Cousin Fate well enough to know that he means it.
Yeah. So we'll do something while we're out for spring break. I think he might have been going to Florida. And I don't know. I know he likes to go play golf in Florida and likes to go to these car races, the drag races in Talladega. And I don't know if they have any in Florida or not. He's always over here to, I think, Ellisville. They have the drag races over here south of Corsicana or something.
Right.
You know, the Dallas area. So, and he wants to meet Laverne. Yeah, so we're going to try to do something. Do you have any plans?
While you all are away, you never know. I might be there. So I hope whenever I'm there, you're there.
Yeah.
You might bump into some Avon ladies and guys in Hawaii because you know, Avon is a company that people win exclusive trips. I had hoped to win a trip to Hawaii, but I didn't. So many Avon ladies and guys will be in Hawaii in March. The next trip is Cancun, so I hope to win the Cancun trip. Hawaii is a place that Terry Mom likes to travel to too. Yeah, she loves Hawaii. So they're like every year. So yeah, you know, Cousin Fate is serious about that, and then he want to meet Laverne. Oh yeah,
yeah, because he was saying something about he could drive his motorhome over, and we could meet him in Mesquite because he claims he ain't that familiar with Dallas, even though he used to live on Oak Cliff when he was driving for Great. So I was telling Laverne, I'd read. Trying to, you know, get back over to Mesquite because of 635, but maybe on a Sunday, because even on Saturdays, the freeways over here are crowded. So maybe one Sunday, if he could come over, we could hook up over in Mesquite and maybe go to dinner or something like that. And so,
I hope you all are there when I come, so we can go to Salt Bay. So we can go to Salt Bay.
Yeah.
I gotta remember my little budget. Hopefully they give us a podcast exclusive.
They might. Yeah, we enjoyed going to Salt Bay. Me and my little friends.
Yeah.
We had a nice. Mhm. And didn't have to buy those $300 hamburgers and $1,000 steaks.
And I went, like I said a few weeks ago, I tagged you and posted and sent you. I ended up on this little Salt Bay bench watching how the burgers and how the steaks are made and how celebrities are just in awe of it. Also, everyday people, of course, but how, you know, he has like a cult following, too, with the way he sprinkles the salt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it would have been nice if he had been there, but I'm sure he wouldn't have come to our table since we had hamburgers. I think he only comes to the table.
I bet he shows up.
State.
I bet, well. But hamburgers are, yummy, yummy.
Yeah, our burgers
and
are
And that hamburger,
really good.
Oh, my goodness.
In fact,
now, what was
we
the side that you ordered? What was the side dish? I'm trying to remember. Did you get a type of fry or a potato?
Yeah,
huh?
We got fries. Yeah, we got fries. The burgers.
They were totally awesome.
Yeah, they were very, very good. Tastes like fresh potatoes, not that frozen stuff. And then we had dessert, which was baklava, which was served warm. But the only baklava I've ever had was, you know, when you buy it in like a box and it's cold and sticky, gooey and all that. But we had fresh, warm out of the baklava with a side of ice cream. And it was just delicious.
Yes.
Mhm. So it's a nice experience. I'd recommend it to everybody.
Yes. Oh, yes. Wow. And you said the cheapest thing on the order, on the menu are the hamburgers and dessert.
Yeah. It was $55. We got a cocktail. Well, it was a mocktail because it was non-alcoholic, but it looked like a cocktail, and it tasted like a cocktail. Then the burger and fries and the dessert, all of that was $55, which I thought was a bargain. You know, for that restaurant, that was really a bargain.
Well, that's good. It's restaurants here, but I mean they don't taste like his. Well, I won't say that, but because they're good. But yeah, but just in comparison, $55. Oh, okay, that is good. Because there's some restaurants here you paying $55, $60.
I was gonna say, yeah, just generally, a lot of times when you go to restaurants, because I know when we have our little monthly outing. It's nothing for lunch to be between $40 and $60 and stuff, just for regular food. Because if you get a cocktail, if you get an entree, and, you know, maybe comes with some sides or whatever. Because my friend Jamie had recommended that my friends and I go to Table 13, which is in Addison. And I told him that not everybody wants to pay the prices to eat at Table 13, because me, him, and Laverne ate there about 4 or 5 years ago, and I distinctly remember my lunch was $76, and that was just lunch.
Whoa!
Because, because they don't have.
Well, you could have gone to Salt Bay. Look, you could have gone to Salt Bay.
But they don't have their entrees don't come with sides. See, everything is a la carte. And I had a cocktail. I had escargot for my appetizer. And I think I got a steak.
You know what? I never had that. And I must try that when I'm with you.
Yeah, because if you don't like them, I'll eat yours. I love them. It's the garlic butter. And they have like a little green pesto like sauce or what? They're just delicious to me. And you get to in some
I'm looking for it.
you have some really good bread. Because when I was in Jamaica, the best ones I've ever eaten were in Jamaica. You think Paris, but no, the best ones I ever ate were in Jamaica.
Right.
And this bread, it was something about the bread that was so good that you want to just sop up all that juice or sauce or whatever. And Jamaica had a very good butter.
Well, I'm looking forward.
And I don't know if it was cow butter or goat butter or whatever, but it was a very different taste, and it was very, very, very good. Jamaica had some of the best lobster I've ever eaten, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wow. I bet.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, I've only been to the Bahamas. And of course, I mean, I guess authentic seafood. Wow. So
yeah.
I can imagine. Wow. I can't imagine Jamaican food.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jamaican food is very
I know.
Good.
When I went to Bahamas, when I went to Bahamas, I enjoyed, what is it, conch? Conch?
Yeah. Salad.
I enjoyed that. Yeah. I enjoyed that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a Jamaican restaurant called The Island Spot that's about 4 or 5 minutes from where I live. It's good food, but their portions are so tiny. They don't give you enough. And the prices are not cheap, but, like I said, it's good food, but you really have to buy a lot of it to try to get full.
Wow. And then it's food that tastes good, and you definitely want more.
Mm-hmm.
And
you want to get that feeling that you're full.
I wonder when they're cooking. I wonder at home, do they serve? I wonder how do they serve at home, you know?
Yeah.
I wonder are they mindful of what they – it sounds like they're mindful of what they eat at home, the home life. Because here in America, we like portions. We like seconds.
Yes, we like –
at home and at restaurants.
Yes. And
so I'm wondering if the restaurants kind of show – I wonder restaurants are kind of representative of how they dine too. You know, really don't eat that much.
Most restaurants here give you large portions, most of them. But you have some, you know, that especially ethnic restaurants, because most people don't eat as much as Americans. Because I've gone to countries and you're surprised at the little portion sizes. Now, people say Chinese people don't eat a lot. And I said, well, they apparently have never been to Hong Kong or they've never been to China. They eat a lot, and I mean a lot, but the portions are so tiny. Because one of my trips to Hong Kong, I met this, she was Taiwanese, but she lived in Chicago. And I just happened to be
I'm glad you mentioned that because I was going to mention my Taiwanese friends. Right. Okay, I'm glad you mentioned it. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, the hotel where I was staying had this huge mall connected to it. And it was at night, and I was just walking through the mall looking for a restaurant, you know, somewhere to eat. And I was looking in the window at this restaurant, and I think it was a Vietnamese restaurant. And so she just happened to, you know, to stop by and start talking to me, saying the food looked really good because over there, they always have pictures of the food, I don't know what they call replicas of the food, I guess, in the windows. And so she said the food was good. She said, why don't we go in and try it? And I said, okay. So when we got in and sat down and we, you know, introduced ourselves and everything, and she told me she would you know, tell me what the food was because it was in Vietnamese and she could read Vietnamese. And we ate and everything. We paid for our meal. And so when we left the restaurant, we were walking around outside, you know, just walking in that particular part of Hong Kong. And she told me she was going to come by my hotel the next day and show me where to go shopping and this and that. And then she was going to bring her brother and her cousin and somebody else, and we would go out to dinner. And, you know, they were going to treat me to dinner. And I was like, oh, yeah, okay. So she did. She came by the next day, and we went shopping. And that particular night when they came to my hotel, which was one of the top hotels in the world, and the reason I say that is because I didn't know they had this world-famous restaurant at the hotel. And so when they got there,
what's the name of the restaurant? The hotel. What's the name of the hotel in the restaurant?
It was the Regent Hotel, which is now no longer the Regent. It's something else, but it's across the street from the Peninsula. And the restaurant, I think, Lychee Heem or something, because after I had eaten there, I read about it in some magazine where it's one of the top restaurants in the world. But anyway, I was
awesome.
And she said that her brother and her cousin said that, you know, there was a very good restaurant at my hotel. And I said, well, that's fine with me. So we went to the hotel, and I was looking at the menu, and I was trying to figure out what I was going to order, and she said, we'll just go ahead and order. And I said, okay. And I know I quit counting what course it was after about course number 17. It was this and that and so-and-so-and-so, and the waiter just kept bringing out more and more food. But what it is like they'll bring out a platter of stuff. I think it was seven of us, because it was me, and I can't remember her name, and her cousin, her brother, might have been her uncle. It was six or seven of us, and I remember they brought this huge fish out, and the fish had been cut up in, like, little square pieces, and she was telling me that, you know, the cut was to give the head of the household or table or whatever the fish head. But she was telling me, you know, don't get the fish head. And I said to myself, you don't have to worry about me. I do not want the fish head, because they believe in leaving the fish head with the eyes and everything. I didn't think any meat was on the head, but the fish head is reserved, or it's kind of like something special. But anyway, we had a bunch of courses, and I finally just quit counting us. I don't even know what course we own. I don't care. I'm just going to sit here and eat to my heart's desire. And we ate and ate and ate. And some of the people at the table didn't speak English, and so her cousin would interpret. But it was a very nice experience, though. Very, very
nice. Wow.
Mm-hmm. But yeah,
you assured her that the thought didn't even run across your mind to even think of eating the fish head.
No, I just told, when she told me, you know, that I could not have the fish head, I just silently said to myself, I don't even want the fish head. But I just told her, okay, I would ask for the fish head.
Right.
Yeah, and when I went down to Singapore, because my trip over there was Hong Kong and Singapore, and when I got to Singapore, I happened to be watching TV one day, and lo and behold, they had this cooking show on, and the recipe was fish head soup.
Oh!
So fish heads are a big thing in Asia. At least they were when I was traveling over there.
Right. I think I have seen fish head soup on a couple menus at authentic Japanese restaurants here in Jackson, because I love sushi. And I believe there's a restaurant that I love on Ridgewood, Ito. I think they have that on their menu, fish head soup.
Mm-hmm.
I think I have one of those menus here. But they're open for lunch, and it's a really nice restaurant. They have a wine store also, but I think they serve fish head soup. So have you tried it yet, the fish head soup?
No. Mm-mm. I mean, you know, it's weird. I eat a lot of weird food, but there's certain things that I just can't bring myself to eat, and fish head soup is one of them. I don't know why, but sushi. I can't bring myself to eat sushi. I think I've tried sushi twice in my life. They were giving out samples in Kroger one day, and I was at the beauty shop one day, and one of the hairdresser's customers had gone to Tom Thumb and got some sushi, and she just insisted on having me try it because I told her I just don't think I could eat sushi. And she gave me one of her sushi things, and it was all right, but it's just not something that I would want. For one thing, I don't like seaweed. I can't stand the taste of seaweed.
What kind of help does the IRS have for identity theft victims?
If you suspect you're a victim of tax-related identity theft, go to irs.gov/identity theft to learn how to prevent potential refund fraud and protect your tax account. At the IRS, combating tax-related identity theft is a top priority, and we are committed to prevention.
This is a message from the CDC. Travel increases your chance of getting and spreading COVID-19. Take steps to protect yourself and others. Wear a mask that completely covers your nose and mouth. Masks are required on planes, buses, trains, and other forms of public transportation traveling into, within, or outside of the U.S. and in U.S. transportation hubs such as airports and stations. Stay at least 6 feet away from others. Wash your hands often and watch for symptoms of COVID-19. Visit cdc.gov/COVID-19travel to learn more. This is a message from the CDC. Travel increases your chance of getting and spreading COVID-19.
What kind of help does the IRS have for identity theft victims?
If you suspect you're a victim of tax-related identity theft, go to irs.gov/identity theft to learn how to prevent potential refund fraud and protect your tax account. At the IRS, combating tax-related identity theft is a top priority, and we are committed to prevention, detection, and assisting victims. And we're working with law enforcement to catch the criminals. For more info, go to irs.gov/identity theft to learn what the IRS is doing to help protect you.